Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
To kick things off this morning, I have a question for listeners. So, what type of news would be great for the shares of a locally listed company? Of course, there are macro factors, the economy, inflation, interest rates, that sort of thing. But I want you to think about a company's specific announcement. Are you thinking of deals? Well, what type of deal? I should say maybe a deal with a famous brand. What kind would cause shares of a local company to jump? Have we got your wheels turning? Okay, because this is not a hypothetical. A catalyst-listed property firm called Allset International enjoyed a big intraday spike in its shares yesterday because of a tie-up with Tesla. Allset International shares popped yesterday after it announced a deal with Tesla to deliver, quote, the model housing ecosystem of the future. Allset shares jumped nearly 20% in intraday trade. And one of the things that's interesting about this piece of news is that a recent survey shows that Singaporeans are among the least aware in Asia of ESG investing. That's investing in companies with environmental, social, and good corporate governance links. And that's despite ESG being a top priority for local regulators. So we're going to tackle ESG investing along with all the market action with our guest analyst today, Sunny Hamid, Director for Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Good morning, Sunny.
Morning.
Now, a survey by Fidelity International shows only about one in four Singaporeans are aware of ESG investing, and that compares with a much higher percentage in China and Hong Kong. So, Sunny, tell us, what do you think is the best market for ESG investing in Asia?
Well, I think it's actually the markets which are a little bit more developed, or countries which are a little bit more developed, because basically many more companies itself, as you find in the developed markets, they're a bit more international. And when you are a bit more international, the markets that you penetrate into, basically some of these countries like the US, Europe, European Union, such, they require ESG, either certification or standards. So that's one way of looking at it. But I think we also have to remember that ESG itself isn't very country-specific. It's very company-specific. A lot of time, ESG is built in the corporate culture of many companies. So you will find sometimes just a normal company, but it's ESG certified, it's ESG, it has ESG policies tied to the running of the company itself. So I think that's the key. So when we say which country or which market in Asia is ESG, it's in the forefront of ESG, something is a little bit more difficult because you don't have a sector within the stock market itself to say. What
right.
you have is you have ESG companies within each sector representing that particular team.
Well, if we look at the survey, there seems to be a gap in awareness. So let's help plug that gap a little bit. When you assess an ESG investment, what do you look for?
Well, basically, it's the company policy. I mean, when you look into, when we deal with funds, for example, it's much easier because the funds itself can be ESG certified, or at least the mandate itself states very clearly that the fund manager actually goes into only companies which meet a certain level of environmental, social, and governance, for example. We have funds which says that, for example, it only invests in companies which reach a certain carbon emission limit, for example. So we have climate change funds, for example. So it's much easier if you go through and you have someone do it for you. But otherwise, you would need to actually assess on a company per company basis on whether the company has ingrained its policy in the team of the ESG.
All right. Next up this morning, Sunny, we turn to a familiar topic, and that's inflation and the U.S. Federal Reserve. Now, overnight, U.S. Fed Chair Jerome Powell told U.S. lawmakers that he thinks a return to the 1970s type of inflation is very unlikely, even though recent price hikes are larger than the Fed expected. So where do you stand on the whole inflation debate? Remind us again. And do you agree with Powell that there is nothing to see here? Or are you in the camp that says this is a concern?
I'm actually in Powell's camp, so to say. However, I think the market really needs to interpret the word transitory a bit more loosely, because I think it seems to give a very short-term kind of connotation. But I feel that it's actually about a 12 to maybe even 18-month period when he mentions it's transitory, meaning to say that basically I don't think it's a 1970 supply shock kind of oil supply shock kind of situation. It's very much got to do again with the pandemic. Number one is the reopening. That's a supply. That's a demand. A demand-driven kind of inflation, and that will solve its way because, again, as people come in, they will reach a point where you know it's back to normal, and that's it. I don't think there's going to be extra demand on top of what we normally typically see. Mm-hmm. And on the supply side, they've been bottlenecks again because of either supply constraints, supply chain constraints, or raw material constraints, and so on. But again, these things work out, but they just need time. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, that in this normalization, whether it's supply-driven or demand-driven, give it time and you'll find that the bottlenecks will solve itself. The only time that inflation may be more permanent is if we are in an economy that is in full employment and it's really heating up a lot. I think that's when I worry about inflation being more permanent than transitory. But I think we're very far from that at this particular point.
Okay, and by transitory, we're looking at a process or a period of change of about 12 to 18 months in your books. Now, investors in the U.S. seem to cast aside inflation worries overnight. The S&P 500 climbed 0.5% as it closes in again on its recent record highs. The Nasdaq did even better, rising 0.8%. Just a few days ago, we were talking about how the markets were selling off in light of the Fed statements about inflation and monetary policy last week. Sunny, are markets just fickle, or is the fear of missing out trade really reasserting its dominance?
It does seem that the FOMO is actually coming back in. It's just that this market has, for the past 10 years, been built on the back of the Federal Reserve's liquidity, loose monetary policy. We've got now fiscal spending continuing. At least I think it's really a kind of like a Goldilocks spirit, in my view, because we have the authorities now holding back and saying, yeah, we're going to move, but actually let's wait until we're really certain, because we really don't want to disrupt anything. And at the same time, you have the economic data coming out, which is quite positive. So you have a situation where macro is good and policy-wise is supportive. So add those two together, we're really in a situation, like I mentioned earlier, a little bit of a Goldilocks phase. Mm. So I think the market understands that. And while it does seem that we're reaching the end of the tunnel, maybe in about 18 months' time, I think the party is still on until then.
All right, party time. Now, in tech news, Microsoft has taken its place in history books as the second publicly listed company to reach a $2 trillion US dollar market valuation. Apple was the first. Microsoft shares are up nearly 20% this year. Facebook and Alphabet shares also doing great this year. So, Sunny, I have to ask what your take is on the tech sector, and if you think big tech stocks still present good opportunities, or whether they're overvalued in this market.
I think they do, except that I think maybe we need to start to segmentize the tech sector. We've seen this value versus growth story play out. Mm-hmm. So value has played catch up after growth has been leading the way for the past couple of years, especially last year. I think that value story probably is coming to an end. And I think there's going to be a refocus back on growth, which is mainly tech. But within the tech sector, I think the old school of FANGs, which is Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft and such, mm-hmm. I think that's an old story. I think the new one would be the innovative, disruptive type of technology, whether it's in healthcare, in transportation. But the main themes that are going to drive tech stock over at least next couple of years, to maybe even a few decades ahead, will be the digitization of the economy, the decarbonization of the economy and such. So I think, and that's really a totally different sector from the ones that we know, which are the FANGs and such. So I think, yes. So tech stocks are going to do well, but I think we need to segmentize them.
Now, Google may be facing some headwinds in Europe, though EU regulators have launched a fresh antitrust investigation into the company's digital ad practices, in case you're still looking at those old school fangs. Now, let's take a look at Asian stocks now. Shares are mixed. Tokyo is up 0.25% in early trade. Seoul is flat. Sydney trending lower. So what are the major issues, Sunny, do you think, on Asian investors' radars for this morning?
Again, I think it's going to be quite tied to what happens in the U.S. And so I think markets are going to be buoyed, or rather at least supported with what's happening in the U.S. But I think at the back of investors' mind is still the vaccination in terms of what we see across Asia. There's a very clear-cut demarcation between the developed countries where populations are vaccinated 50% and above, and they are already opening up. And you can see that in the news. Vis-a-vis Asia, where many countries have yet to reach that critical mark of about 50-60%. And in some places like Africa, which is much lower. So that presents to Asia a big issue, because anybody or any country which doesn't have a vaccination program above 50%, you can't reopen, you can't receive international trade visitors and stuff. So you're still in that COVID situation. So I think that's the key thing. So I think we could see a demarcation again in terms of financial markets because of this.
All right. Here in Singapore, we are about 17 minutes into the local trading day. Yesterday, the Straits Times Index bucked the regional trend, closing down 0.3% at 3109. Sunny, a number of analysts are still relatively bullish on Singapore stocks, and they expect the STI to finish higher by year's end. What is your take on the market?
It's tied to Singapore. I think it's tied to Asia and the stock and the question that we just answered earlier on. It has had a good run because it's been the laggard last year. So we've seen over the past 6 months the catch up for every sector, every story that didn't run when the market ran last year. We saw value run up as opposed to growth. We saw laggards go up as opposed to those who would lag behind. We saw companies which were not non-stay-at-home run up, and so on and so forth. So again, I think Singapore probably, with many of this group of markets and companies, have reached a point whereby, okay, we've rebalanced it, it's gone back to fair value, and not to fair value per se before the crisis, but at least to a good value. What's next? And next really is how Asia and the developing countries do in terms of the vaccination progress. So it may still be upside, but I won't be optimistic for this service, relatively speaking, to the developed countries in terms of performance.
All right. Well, thanks as always for your insights, Sunny. Yeah. Have a great Wednesday.
Thanks for having me. You too. Thank you.
Sunny Hamid, Director for Wealth Management at Financial Alliance.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.